A while ago, my friends were amazed to hear their 5-year-old daughter, Lindsay, telling her little friend about Jesus. The children were sitting on the front steps of the house, and the parents tiptoed up to the window to see and hear better. Lindsay told her friend that if she believed in Jesus and prayed, he would forgive her sins and she would go to heaven. The little girl was convinced and prayed. When she was done praying, she looked up at my friend's daughter and asked, "Will my mommy be in heaven too?" Lindsay thought for a moment and replied, "Yeah, if she believes in Jesus. But if you don't want her there, don't tell her about Jesus." I know the Lord wouldn't approve of any attempt to keep someone out of heaven, but in the society in which we live today, such a thought may well have crossed many of our minds. When we read Hosea 4 today, could you not see how God's word was describing us today? Let's review. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, "There is no faithfulness, no kindness, no knowledge of God in your land." Well, of a recent episode of Jeopardy, where contestants are supposed to be well-educated people, or is any indication, this verse couldn't be more spot on. The Jeopardy clue was, Matthew 6, 9 says, "Our Father which art in heaven, this blank be thy name." None of the contestants knew the word hallowed. Truly, as God charges, there is no knowledge of God in your land, except for the faithful remnant, and too many conservatives are not godly. Hosea 4:2 continues, "You make vows and break them. You kill and steal and commit adultery. There is violence everywhere, one murder after another." Does not this describe America now to a T? Shouldn't we be trembling in our boots or high heels? The hits keep coming in verse 3. "That is why your land is in mourning and everyone is wasting away." Does not this tell us that this is why the leading causes of death among young people are unintentional injuries like drug overdoses, followed by suicide? Yet we're supposed to give even barely talking toddlers free access to gender transitioning drugs and irreversible body mutilating surgeries. And then is it any wonder that they get older and commit suicide anyway? Because they were all sold a diabolical bill of goods from the very powers of evil. Verse 3 goes on, "Even the wild animals, the birds of the sky, and the fish of the sea are disappearing." How could Hosea, 2,750 years ago, see us right now? In the hysterical frenzy to eliminate carbon dioxide emissions from burning so-called fossil fuels, because they're not from fossils at all, that's just another big lie. We're building enormous wind farms that are literally killing off hundreds of thousands of birds of the sky and driving thousands and thousands of whales to beach themselves and die. Because wind turbine blades hit birds, killing them, and their vibrations ripple out through the ocean water, driving the whales crazy, as the most plausible explanation theorizes. This says nothing of the myriad other forms of pollution in our natural environment, killing off both wildlife and human life, left and right. Verse 6 specifically speaks to priests, the church leaders. "My people are being destroyed because they don't know me. Since you priests refuse to know me, I refuse to recognize you as my priests. Since you have forgotten the laws of your God, I will forget to bless your children." Has America forgotten God's laws? One glance at today's unlawful regime in the White House leaves no doubt. hosting a pride flag in place of our national flag, bathing the White House in the blasphemous rainbow colors of the LGBTQ plus movement in the past, with the most vile, obscene party on the White House lawn ever seen in American history this past week, should call us all, God's true people, genuine Christians, to fall down in prayer, begging His mercy on us. Verse 7 ends, "The priests, church leaders, had exchanged the glory of God for the shame of idols." Verses 10 and 11 charge the people, "They will eat and still be hungry. They will play the prostitute and gain nothing from it, for they have deserted the Lord to worship other gods. Wine has robbed my people of their understanding." Yes, liquor, marijuana, now fentanyl and worse are destroying people's minds and bodies. Have you seen the homeless stoned out of their skulls like zombies littering the streets of many of our largest cities, particularly San Francisco, to name one? Hosea's prophecy doesn't end there. Verses 13 and 14, "They offer sacrifices to idols on the mountaintops. They go up into the hills to burn incense in the pleasant shade of oaks, poplars, and terebinth trees. That is why your daughters turn to prostitution and your daughters-in-law commit adultery. But why should I punish them for their prostitution and adultery? For your men are doing the same thing, sinning with whores and shrine prostitutes. Oh, foolish people, you refuse to understand, so you will be destroyed." Can God get any more clear? What are our neighbors doing? Is there any healthy, life-giving fear of God? Verse 15 zeroes in on Hosea's day, 2,750 years ago. "Do not join the false worship at Gilgal or Beth Aven, and do not take oaths there in the Lord's name." What's that about? Just 4 years ago, archaeologists found Gilgal in the Golan Heights, northeast of the Sea of Galilee. There is one of the largest, oldest pagan worship and burial sites in the world, at least 5,000 years old. Gilgal, Hebrew for wheel, was known in ancient times as the Wheel of Giants. This megalith, at least 500 feet across, has at least 9 concentric rings with spokes, built of at least 40,000 tons of black basalt, at the center of which is the Middle East's Stonehenge, though bigger than the one in England, but built earlier and only visible from the air, which is why no one noticed it until now. Known in both ancient Hebrew and Arabic texts as the site of the giants, the biblical Nephilim, this was a site of continuous worship of ancient giant beings, hybrid offspring of fallen angels and human women, as described in Genesis 6. These giants, in league with evil spirits, demanded human worship. Humans did. For accounts, many from our hemisphere relayed how these giants would literally eat humans for lunch. Recall how the Hebrew spies sent out by Moses to survey the Promised Land shortly after the Exodus from Egypt came back with their frightening report in Numbers 13, 32, and 33. "The land we pass through to explore is one that devours its inhabitants, and all the people we saw in it are men of great size. We even saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak, come from the Nephilim. To ourselves, we seemed like grasshoppers, and we must have seemed the same to them." But don't forget that God knows everything. He was well aware of the inhabitants of the Promised Land. It was because of them that God was sending his chosen people to cleanse the land of these evil hybrid genetic abominations that were literally ravaging the humans that he had made in his image. With God with them, the Israelites could not be defeated, regardless of how huge and numerous the giants were living there. Because they refused to go into the land, God made the people wander in the wilderness 40 years until all that generation, 20 years old and above, died, with the only exceptions being Joshua and Caleb. Recall that later, as these giants gradually died off, unable to further reproduce, as the Israelites took possession of the land, they fought and defeated the infamous King Og. Deuteronomy 3:11 states, "Only King Og of Bashan was left of the remnant of the Rephaim. His bed was made of iron. Isn't it in Rabbah of the Ammonites? It is 13.5 feet long and 6 feet wide by a standard measure." The Rephaim were probably another tribe of the Nephilim. Og's had an iron bed. Why iron? Because it had to be strong enough to hold up his enormous weight. 6 feet wide and probably 14 feet long, or even longer, depending on how long the standard measure a man's forearm actually was. Depends on whose forearm and how it was measured. The point is, God was wanting to rid the earth of these evil beings which were killing and leading humanity into the sin leading to everlasting death in hell. In today's gospel lesson, Christ's words didn't make sense at that moment, but only much later. For he was prophesying to his disciples and directly to us when he described what they would be going through, not then, but after he would die on the cross, be resurrected, and ascend to heaven, and giving them and us his blessed and all-powerful Holy Spirit. This is a perfect example of how prophecy is always proclaimed then, and especially as it's happening right now. An old deacon was leading in prayer using one of his stereotypical phrases, which was, "O Lord, touch the unsaved with thy finger." As he intoned this phrase in this particular prayer, he stopped short, seemingly frozen. Other members came to his side and asked if he were ill. "No," he replied, "but something seemed to say to me, thou art the finger." So how are we God's finger? Seems this calls for earnest, continuing prayers. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, that you have recorded all of history in your holy word, and that you are opening it up to us for all the myriad things we have forgotten over the millennia, showing it to us once more that we can see what we are truly up against. Thank you for giving us your Almighty Holy Spirit, and faith to believe that with him, nothing can stand against us. In Jesus' name, for your praise and glory, to extend your kingdom, we pray. Amen.